Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Psalm 103, verse 4. I know who does that. Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. My guest today is Sunday Goodnight. Sunday is the Director of Church Relations at Florida Baptist Children's Homes. Their mission is to provide Christ-centered services to those in need. And Sunday is the Orphan Sunday Coordinator for Florida Baptist Children's Homes and in Florida. Welcome to the show, Sunday.
Thank you so much for having me, Sandra.
It is an honor to have you on this show. Love having you here, advocating for vulnerable children, kids in foster care, and orphans. Is your heart, your passion? How did orphans become your passion?
I was extremely blessed to have an incredible mother and father who instilled in me about being other-centered instead of I-centered. And I can vividly remember moments where, as a school teacher, my mom would focus my attention on children whose families were struggling or the kids that didn't have the family dynamic that our close-knit Goodnight family had. I watched some of my cousins take in foster children and adopt children. I watched my mom pack shoeboxes for kids in other countries and send items to orphanages. And as a child, to me, something about that just felt right. And I always like to say that it was not that, or that it was something like orphan work found me. And when it found me, it totally changed my life.
And your parents, like you said, your mom, your parents are a great inspiration to you. It's what they were all about. And your parents adopted your two sisters from Eastern Europe, and I'm sure that had an impact on you. How did that change your life?
Yeah, tremendously one of the greatest things that has ever happened to me. I grew up in a large blended family. My parents had six children, and after we were grown and out of the house, my mom's heart just didn't quit stirring and loving for children, and she wanted more. I remember she and I would sit for hours and look through waiting children on those lists in the U.S. and abroad. My dad was always willing to love other children and so financially to help other families adopt or help with orphanage work. But he just wasn't sure that after raising six children already and being in his later 50, you know, older in his later 50s, that adoption was really an option for him. But my mom was able to convince my dad to do a hosting program one Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, in walked a six-year-old little girl. She came in with her tattered two big boots, clothes that didn't fit, and her hair was matted and disheveled. She had the spunkiest little attitude, Sandra, that won my dad's heart instantly. That Christmas Eve, my dad's heart and our lives changed forever. And child after child, my parents would host and then advocate for those children to find forever Christian families, and most of them did. I kept praying that my parents would want to adopt, and I just knew that they had done such an outstanding job raising me and my siblings, and I felt like they had so much more love to give. I really wanted them to adopt. They were concerned about their age, but I just had a sneaking feeling that Jesus had a plan for them beyond what they could actually see in that moment. So through a hosting program, they had the opportunity to host Masha. An opportunity came for us to adopt her, and my parents said yes to adopting her and her younger sister, Victoria. That yes, it changed me and my whole family. I honestly, I don't remember. a moment in my life where I felt more overwhelmed and more thankful for what God had given me. I loved those girls instantly, and they came and melded into our family perfectly. I began to see God's love in greater ways than I had ever seen. I loved seeing my mom nurture, and my favorite thing of all was seeing my dad father those girls. And I started thinking, I bet that's what it looked like when he fathered me. I watched the girls overcome some pretty crazy odds. My sister Masha, she came reading at just a third grade level. She never thought that she would excel in school, but she excelled when she thought she would fail. She learned how to do things that she never thought she could do, like drive a car and ride a horse. And in those moments, I knew adopting children was something so much more than just getting a new member added to your family. It was so much more than my dream to have sisters. It was about seeing a life, in our case, two lives, changed forever. There was this incredibly significant moment. One night, when I was visiting home, I was sitting on the back of the tailgate of my dad's truck. My sister Masha was perched up next to me, and she was sharing her dreams and her heart's desires. Then all of a sudden, she went eerily quiet. She looked over at me and said, "Pinch me, Sunday." I said, "Why?" And she said, "I cannot believe this is my life." She then had a family that loved her, and all the dreams that she ever had were attainable and right at her fingertips. Those two beautiful girls, Victoria and Masha, my sisters, are the motivation and the voice behind my life as an orphan advocate.
Incredible. And it's the story of lives restored and redeemed. And you shared with me earlier another story where you've also seen redemption in the life of the orphan. Not that your sister's stories are not enough. They're incredible. Every one of these stories is a God story, and we give him the glory. But share with us the story that you shared earlier with me.
Well, I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip several years ago. And while I was on a missions trip, I met a 14-year-old, bubbly and super vibrant with the greatest personality girl. I'm going to call her Allie today for confidentiality. She was aging out of the orphan system in Europe at age 14, and she wasn't sure where her life was going. The moment I met her, Sandra, I knew that God had a purpose for her life. And though I didn't know what my role would be, I just had a feeling that God was going to use me to help her. Over the next few years, I did everything that I could to stay in contact with Allie. I sent gifts to her at her birthday and Christmas, prayed for her, wrote her letters and emails, and our family was able to host her through a hosting program. I don't know if you can see the theme in this, but the Goodnight family sure does love the hosting programs. But Allie wasn't sure when she came to America through the hosting program if she was too old to be adopted, but she really did dream of having her very own family. My mom worked tirelessly trying to find a family that would adopt a soon-to-be 16-year-old Allie. We needed a miracle because she was aging out of that system, and time was of the essence. Miraculously, on the exact date of her 16th birthday, an adoptive family signed the papers that they needed to go and adopt her. Allie was adopted, and for the next several years, we received phone calls from her at Thanksgiving and Christmas and updates about her new life in America. It was amazing to stay in touch with her and hear how she was doing. But then one day, we received another phone call. And on the other end of the line was a sobbing 21-year-old. Her adoptive situation had taken a negative turn. And she ended up again in her life without any place to turn. And so she turned to the only people that she knew. She turned to my family. Interestingly, I was in a really tough situation in my life. I had just moved to Florida and had started working at my job that I currently serve in now. I was living in a two-bedroom condominium alone, and I was in a pile of my own transition and grief. My brother had just died of cancer. One of my best friends had lost their own son, and two of my uncles had been killed. I had been to more funerals and cried more tears than a human should have to endure. Honestly, I wanted to sit in my own pain. I was paralyzed. But when I got the call that day and I heard Allie's need in her story, I knew I couldn't turn a blind eye. I remembered the feeling that I had when I met her on that street in Eastern Europe. And I looked upstairs at my empty bedroom. And I thought, maybe that's what that room is for. Even in the midst of my own grief and my own pain, I had to choose to trust God to use me, even though my pain was overwhelming. I remembered Psalm 103. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness. So just a few days later, Allie walked in to my home. She was extremely depressed and hopeless. She'd actually been suicidal, and she was wearing several different psychiatric labels and taking so many medications. She, too, was in an extreme pit of her own despair. Soon, she began to go to church with me. She got involved with the college ministry and made friends very quickly. She began to open her heart to the love of Jesus. Before my very eyes, the depression left her mind and body. As she accepted Jesus Christ into her heart as her Lord and Savior, she was miraculously able to get off not one, but every single one of her psychotropic medications. And all of the hope and the joy in that beautiful, bubbly personality came flooding back in. I was at an adoption meeting, and Allie was introduced to the coordinator of the program at this adoption meeting, and she was invited to share there her very brave story. I was so proud of her as she shared her own story of pain and hopelessness, and I was overwhelmed, as you can imagine, and so proud by her faith and courage. She was and is so extraordinary, so special, and I saw how completely loved she was by God. Her life, it touched mine, and somewhere along the way, Sandra, I realized that my pain slowly started going away, and that my heart started to heal too. Her redemption story had just begun through the time with me, and today she is grafted in fully to our awesome family. She is working hard toward her nursing degree and working full-time as a certified CNA. Her great big heart, my mom likes to say, is as big as the sun. She is following wholly after Jesus and helping others along the way. And in a pay-it-forward spirit, last year when her teenage adopted sister needed the same type of love and mercy she had needed just years earlier, Allie reached out to her, took her in, and today she is fully caring for her sister and providing for her. Isn't Jesus amazing? How Amen. He restores and redeems life after life and crowns us with his love and kindness.
That is the gospel in action.
It certainly is.
Praise God. And your act of obedience when, you know, most people maybe would have looked at you and said, you know, you've got too much on your plate. You can't possibly take that on. You just heard from the Lord and walked that out in obedience. And you, your life was changed. Her life was changed. Now her sister's life. And it's that ripple effect. And that's what God is looking for, is our obedience, our yes.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. We're in the process of updating the site, but you can still contact me or get information from there. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and joining me today is Sunday Goodnight, the Director of Church Relations at Florida Baptist Children's Homes, and the Orphan Sunday Coordinator for Florida Baptist Children's Homes and in Florida in general. Sunday, tell us about your work at Florida Baptist Children's Homes. What do you do?
Well, I absolutely say I have hit the jackpot of all jobs in ministry. Truly, God has blessed me incredibly by giving me the desires of my heart to serve at the Florida Baptist Children's Homes, the Porch Light in Orphan's Heart, as the Director of Church Relations. Last year, our ministries were able to impact the lives of over 171,000 children and families through our work in the areas of foster care and adoption. We do single moms ministry, and that's called Brave Moms. We do compassion ministries, residential care, advocate for the issues of sanctity of human life, and we even have a safe home and anti-trafficking ministry called the Porch Light Ministry, which I'm extremely passionate about. And if we're not busy enough, the ministry also does international ministry in 16 countries. So I have the privilege there of working with our churches across the state and really seeing the local church connected with what I believe the Bible says in James 1:27, Sandra, is true religion. In James 1:27, the verse is, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And churches have a really big task mandated by God's word to care for the orphan. The church at large is an extremely powerful entity, and I believe when it's staged and mobilized, it can really bring monumental change to the lives of children in need. So what a joy it is for me to connect with pastors and mission leaders that are in those pivotal positions to be able to connect them with that James 1:27 mission.
So as the Director of Church Relations, you're connecting with churches. What do you say to a pastor or to a church when you speak with them?
Well, first and foremost, I say thank you. I believe that the church is the answer to the orphan crisis. So many pastors and mission leaders have begun the work in orphan care. They've poured prayers into the issues of orphans, into orphans' lives. They've either sowed financially or they've spoken on a Sunday to raise the needs before their congregation facing children. And many of them that I speak to have served ministries just like ours do. I'm so thankful for the work that has been done by the church, and I'm excited for the church to dig even deeper into the greatest needs that face children today. And also, not only do I say thank you, but I also say to them, we need you. The church is the most beautiful reflection of Jesus and holds so much hope, so many wonderful resources and answers to impact the orphan care crisis is found inside the church. And I want pastors and leaders to know that we need them. We need their congregation and we need their resources to bring answers to the orphan crisis. And then lastly, I say get ready, because when a local church engages in orphan care, it touches the heart of God. And when you touch the heart of God, get ready, because it's a real possibility you're going to see God move in your church in new and beautiful ways. As pastors and leaders, their main mission why they do what they do is to proclaim the gospel. And I want them to know that serving the orphan is intricately connected to proclaiming the gospel. Mm. One of my favorite authors and advocates for orphan care is Jason Johnson, and mm-hmm. he shares in one of his amazing blogs. I know you're familiar with Jason, Sandra. He shares in one of his blogs, he says this, he says, caring for the marginalized, mm-hmm. the oppressed, and orphaned is not only one of the clearest expressions of the heart of God, but also one of the most tangible demonstrations of the gospel this world will ever see. And I want the churches to know that we're super thankful for them. We need them. And to get ready as they engage in orphan care, that they are going to get to see the gospel played out in a real, tangible way.
Mm, amen. I love just your heart just shining through Sunday. And Orphan Sunday is one way that the church can begin to really get involved in this area if they are not already. So tell us about your role with Orphan Sunday.
Well, Sandra, I am the Orphan Sunday coordinator through Florida Baptist Children's Homes for the state of Florida. And I always laugh and say, with a name like Sunday Goodnight, I think Orphan Sunday found me. Mm-hmm. My name is actually in the day, so this has to be a great connection. And I love this day because it gives churches a way to and reminds them about the importance of taking care of the orphan. And we want at Florida Baptist Children's Homes to give churches, organizations, and businesses a tangible way to get involved. So we've partnered with Christian Alliance for Orphans to rally churches to engage in this special day on November 12th. Last year, we rallied over 100 churches to participate with us in a diaper drive, and we collected over 500,000 diapers. Mm. So it was super fun to see companies, Sunday school classes, youth groups, women's ministries, Boy and Girl Scout troops, and just churches at large to join with us by collecting diapers of all shapes and sizes. We even had a pastor who said that he would wear a bib one Sunday while he was preaching if the church exceeded their diaper drive goal. So we had a lot of fun with it. Wow. And have some cute pictures of him in that bib when their church did what they said they would do. So this year, as a way of being a part of Orphan Sunday, we are expanding our goal to meet our growing needs to 600,000 diapers. Now, think with me for a minute, because that is 50,000 diapers a month. That is a lot of diaper changing right there. But we are praying for over 150 churches and businesses and organizations to join with us. Some may decide that they want to collect diapers. Some may send money to buy diapers. But however they want to participate, I believe the diaper drive is a great way to meet a tangible need for a child and celebrate the cause of the orphan this Orphan Sunday. A lot of people want to know, you know, where are the diapers going? And they serve all of our individual ministries through through foster care, adoption, compassion ministries, and through our international ministry. We actually have a malnutrition center in San Juan, Guatemala. We had a little baby that came to us severely malnourished there at the center, and his name was Carlos. He was left at the hospital by a mother who couldn't care for him. And so when he came to us, the doctor at our malnutrition center there, at the malnutrition center there in San Juan, was extremely concerned because of that Carlos was struggling to eat and his weight was extremely low. But we were there through our international ministry to provide him with not only diapers, but with love, with food, and a trio of women from Boston who went on a mission trip with us and followed God's call to serve, helped nurture him back into full health. And today, that sweet newborn is wearing our diapers, and he is actually just thriving and at a healthy weight. And that's just one child that we were able have been able to serve with the diapers that are collected through our Orphan Sunday initiative.
Wonderful. And Orphan Sunday is November 12th this year, as you mentioned. It's always the second Sunday of November annually. Be sure to get that on your church calendar. Sunday, really quick, as we wrap up, like give us just 30 seconds. What is on your heart that you'd really like our listeners to learn from our conversation today?
I want them to say yes. I want them to open their heart and make room for the yes, because children need us as Christians, as believers, to say yes. We are on a mandate from God. Whether you're single like I am, an empty nester like my parents were, whether you're a pastor or a leader or in business, God wants to connect you with His heart for redemption in the midst of you helping redeem someone else. I just might say, He just might do what He did for me and redeem you too.
Well, thank you so much, Sunday, for being with us today and for all that you are doing on behalf of vulnerable children. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To learn more about Sunday's work at Florida Baptist Children's Homes, you can go to their website, which is fbchomes.org. And thank you for tuning in today. Orphan Sunday is one day that the church can join with one voice for one purpose, to care for vulnerable children, orphans, foster kids. This year, it's on November 12th. To learn more about Orphan Sunday and how your church can get involved, visit orphansunday.org. If you're in New York, you can contact me. I'm also an Orphan Sunday coordinator, and I would love to help you. I'm even available to speak at your church on Orphan Sunday. You can contact me at my website, justicefororphansny.org. If you enjoyed today's show, you can listen to more episodes of Orphans No More right on our website. Just click on Radio Show and then click Orphans No More. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to JFO. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO inspires, educates, and equips the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. And again, this is Sandra Flack. I'd love to come to your church and share more about why and how we must walk out James 1:27. Again, to learn more, go to our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.